And I just promised them music.
Are we ready to go?
Here we go. Here,
okay, that's Taj Mahal.
Thank you. I know we were talking about you teaching music, and I was kind of wondering if you give me some idea about the form in which learning this kind of music comes. I mean, it's not the kind of music you play is not generally represented with the European form of notation, right?
No, it can be notated that way, but it can't be played the way it's notated. Uh-huh. I mean, you can write it out the way it is, but most cats aren't that free. Because of the way that the whole learning thing is, it's impossible for one. See, I learned from song to song, and then after the experience of learning from so many different types of songs, pretty soon you get your own. It's like your own palette. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. A teacher might teach you by giving you the primary colors at first, you know, but then eventually, you know, you get off into some things that you like. You know, well, I didn't even have that beginning. I just started out there doing what I felt, a little bit by a little bit. I knew what the right vibration sounded like, and just went toward it. Well, I'm a firm believer in play. You know, play, jump in and play. You know, and most cats don't play. They organize the notes. You know, there's a difference between organizing the notes and playing. You know. All the way down the line, man. I mean, whatever's the big idea at the top, you know, it comes out in the music. That's what I say. As long as the patrons for, you know, the music are the ones with the bucks and not very much knowledge and not very much creative ability, the music's going to stay in the same place. You know? About music, you know, let me make this clear. I don't know necessarily if all factors about playing music are necessarily racial or ethnic in origin. I just think it really has to do with what's foremost in your mind, you know. And I don't mind, really. It just goes to show you that I ain't paying much attention to this thing, you know. And if you're playing for the right kind of forces, you know, I mean, it's like I really try to play so that my instrument seems to, you know, like. Completely open up. People don't open up. And a lot of that's conditioning from the way they were raised. little girl, don't you hear me calling you? Well, the way you treat me, I don't know what to do. But you, baby, sweet baby, can't you hear me calling at your name? Well, the way you treat me, darling, oh, honey, it's a doggone shame. I woke up this morning with the blues all around my beard. When I went down to the kitchen, the blue was all in my breakfast bread. Woman that I'm loving, she's as solid as she can. She like a rope there right now, she hop all over me. Little girl, I ain't scared to call your. I believe my life is serious, but I don't want to play no game. So little girl, can't you? Well, you treat me better than anyone ever had to do.
We went back all the way to October 15th of 1973, and that was Taj Mahal. And he had a lot to talk about when he came in.
In Reno, Nevada, where romances bloom and fade, there was a great Philadelphia lawyer in love with a Hollywood maid. Won't you come with me, love, and we'll wander out where the lights shine so bright. You can win a divorce from your husband, and we can get married tonight. Now Bill, he was a gun-toting cowboy, 6 notches was carved on his gun, and all of them boys around Reno left Bill's Hollywood darling alone. Now one night, while Bill was returning from riding the range in the cold, he dreamed of his Hollywood sweetheart. was returning. Two forms he saw on his shade. It was the great Philadelphia lawyer. So sweet and divine. Won't you come with me to old Philadelphia? Leave this wild cowboy behind. Now back in old Pennsylvania, beneath these sheltering pines, there's one less Philadelphia lawyer.
Don McLean. Don, you're, foreign to a lot of Westerners yet. I'm going to change all that pretty soon, I think.
Well, I hope so, because it's nice out here. Nice weather.
I forgot, you were on Sesame Street.
Right, yeah.
And on that Pete Seeger thing from the Clearwater.
Yeah, the Sounds of Summer.
That was a good show.
It was an interesting program, but there's a kind of a sad note to it in a way. You know, that the park where we were singing is in the middle of a black neighborhood. And we sort of ran the whole people right out of their park. Uh-huh. Not by on purpose, certainly, but I think maybe this is what happens a lot of times, you know. You try to get together and do something, and all different people get together and end up running off people that belong there, sort of like the Indians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we've tried to get, this year, we've tried to have a program down there which will include most of the people from the neighborhood and have more local talent on the bill. Very few of the people that did perform that evening who were local were shown on television because they weren't slick enough. And I qualified, so.
Yeah. You were talking in one of your shows about your appearance on Dick Cavett.
Oh, yeah. That's
you want to tell the story?
Yeah, sure.
I think you want to tell the story.
Well, I was going to sing a song called Respectable, which is about the courts. And they said, the censor really flipped out. He said, no, you can't sing that song. And I said, well, why not? He said, well, because you can't imply that the courts aren't on the up and up. And I said, well, they're not always. And he said, they always are. He said, and I said, well, no, you've got to be serious about that. Tell me why you won't let me sing it. And he said, well, the reason is we've had a lot of trouble from the FCC because we've had people on our program that have spoken about the Chicago trial and the fact that it was not exactly fair. And he said, if you sing this song, you'll get in a lot of trouble. I said, yeah, but other people can come on and sing songs and say things, but I can't. And then I said, okay, well, forget it, I'll sing another song, and I did, and I ran through a song that was about 4 minutes long, and I ran through it about 2.5 minutes. And the guy said, that's perfect. He said, that'll fit right in. And I said, well, he didn't even know what I had said. You know, he just was interested in fitting it into 2 minutes and 30 seconds. So when I got on the air, I extended the song to about 4 minutes and wiped out all the conversation they want to put at the end of the program. And all they had time to do was the last verse goes, if man is allowed to destroy all we need, he will soon have to pay with his life for his greed. Kevin said, good night. Everybody's thinking, I don't know, maybe we should let him sing the song.
Yeah.
But TV is a weird medium because I'll tell you something. When you came in here, I was talking on the telephone about, just to a friend of mine, about a record contract, which I have yet to get. And The funny thing is that in this business, like most other businesses, you have creative people who try and do something, and by the virtue of the fact that they are creative, you know, to one degree or another, they're trying to do something ahead of what everybody else is doing. I mean, people that are involved in what's going on right now, chances are, if they're really into it, they're going to have something in their head that's, you know, beyond what's happening now. They're not just going to make a living out of making James Taylor music. You know, they're going to try to go one step ahead of that.
Right.
And the idea is with these people that the reason so much crap is on television and on record and on radio is because they're the ones, because they're putting up the bread, they're the ones who have to make artistic decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not be separated from the fact that if they're going to lay out 15 grand for your record and they're going to give you some money as an advance and they're going to do a few other things, they're going to say, how come I got to have that song on? I don't like it.
Right.
You know, and you're going to say, well, it's, you know, and you go through some metaphysical bunch of junk trying to tell the guy what it is. He says, but I'll still like it, take it off, you know. And it doesn't matter because he's laying out the money, you know.
Do you have any of that problem in the clubs?
It depends on the club, you know. If I sang certain songs, in some places I've had club managers come over and bustle over me and tell me, we don't want to hear about the problems. We want to be entertained now. If you can't entertain us. And then I usually go into a spiel about if they're offended, well, I'm offended every day, and so.
Yeah.
So that, but it's very rare. I must confess that most clubs really let you do what you want to do most of the time. And if the audience digs it, they're happy. And if the audience doesn't like it, sometimes they feel that if you're doing a good thing and they know it. For example, the Troubadour, they've been very nice about that. And even at the Ash Grove, Ed Pearl is very good about that. You can say anything you want. And there's a country audience that comes to the Troubadour often, so I got out my Lester Flatt songs. And
you want to do another song?
Sure.
The angels are lost in the city of stars. The wise men are down on their knees. Fruit man of freeway will sell you his cars when he's sure that you can't find the keys. And the ladies on Magdalene Lane all worship the sun and the sand. And the migrants who come can't complain, for this is their promised land. La la la. Auctioning Dorothy's shoes. Gable is gone, the good witch is a slut, and I've got the parking lot blues. The wizard brought Benzedrine smiles. He never let Dorothy doze. She died as she walked down the aisle, and all that remains is her clothes. Rainbow, a Kansas tornado can twist up a little girl's head. And M's on relief, and the Tin Man's a thief, and even the wizard can't wake the dead. La la la. Prophet has come to the kingdom of lights, but there's no one to listen or learn. The prophet performs for the Savior's delight, while dissenters are banished or burned. And the heretics beg to be heard, but the Savior's on tour for the week. Salvation is found in his word. If only he'd learn how to speak. And Lincoln is laughing. laughing with Amos and Andy concerning the great Civil War. And Paul Revere sleeps with the worst looking creeps while revolution's knocking at his door. La la la. Like domain where everyone's soul is for sale. The peace of your heart will do for a start. You can send us the rest in the mail. For we have our own families to feed, and we can't let them starve just for you. But we'd rather not watch while you bleed. So come back in an hour when you're through. It's just another city without sorrow. It makes no difference why I came. I only know I'm leaving here tomorrow. And only the motel man knows my name.
That's it.
Hey, I want.
Do you want a roll tape?
I want to. I want to ask one thing, because last time you were here, you left us with a song that you hadn't recorded yet.
Which was?
Vincent.
Yeah.
You got another one for us that will probably be on the next album.
Getting pushy, Howard.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm just going to ask that one favor.
Well, here's a song that will probably might be on the next record, although I didn't write it. Zone, not a stranger zone. Then the little plot I walk on that I call my home, full of eerie sights, weird and scary sights.
Every vicious animal that creeps and crawls and bites. On the Amazon, the prophylactics prowl. On the Amazon, the hypodermics howl. On the Amazon, you'll hear a scarab scowl and a sting. Zodiacs on the wing, all the stalactites and vicious vertebrae join the stalagmites with laryngitis spray. Then the acolytes who come from Paroquet in the spring. Starving equinox among the rocks will seize you. And the Fahrenheit comes out at night to freeze you. While duodenum are lurking in the trees, and the jungles swarm with green apostrophes, oh, the Amazon is calling me.
I am calling you.
On the Amazon, the Pax vobiscum bite. On the Amazon, the epiglottis fight. On the Amazon, the hemispheres at night all slink. Oh, where the agnostics drink all the hippodromes that lie concealed in mud. Join the metronomes that live in swamp and flood. Then the Kodachromes come out and drink their blood. Poor ginks. While velocipedes among the weeds will scare you. And the menopause with hungry jaws ensnares you. Frenzied adenoids infest the hills and slopes. Everyone avoids the deadly stethoscopes. Oh, the Amazon is calling. Oh, the Amazon is calling. Oh, the Amazon is calling me.
Everybody looks like they're going to attack the microphone, eh?
Dixie Breakdown? Folks out there know this one? Dixie Breakdown?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I know that one.
Brand new bluegrass song.
Never heard
it. Just follow it. It's really easy.
Thank you.
yeah, boogie.
Boogie.
That was Vince Gill, Gene and Steve LeBay, Stuart Duncan, and John Hickman. Okay, studios, here is Laurie Lewis and Grant Street.
Right, that song's generally associated with Cousin Emmy, right?
That's absolutely right.
Cousin Emmy, who lived in North Hollywood, by the way, in kind of obscurity, and nobody knew who she was until Mike Seeger found her and brought her to the San Diego Folk Festival. She'd been kind
I'll
of
be. I learned that song, Bowling Green, off of the album that Cousin Emmy did with the New Lost City Ramblers, as a matter of fact. Which was Mike Seeger's band, of course.
Bowling Green's also the first cut on your album, too. Congratulations on your album. It's a really nice album.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Was it a long time in coming? Was it?
It was a long time in the planning stages and waiting around, you know, trying to get up the psychic energy and courage to do it and get the money together and all that kind of stuff. And then it did take a little while because after we recorded it, made the tape. We recorded most of it in a couple of weeks, and so that didn't take very long. But after we got that all done, it took a while to shop the tape around, and Flying Fish picked it up, and then it came out with a backwards cover. The photo on the front was reversed, and so they had to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere or other, there's like 4,000 record jackets with backwards covers.
Collector's items.
Collector's items, that's right. And then, so it took a few months for them to do that over again and have more jackets pressed. So, it did take a while.
Laurie's opening song was Bowling Green, which you can find on her album. We'll talk a little bit more about the album later. What are you going to tune you do next song?
Well, we're going to do another song from the album, because. It's a song that I wrote, and... Lynn Morris, who's playing banjo with us here, is going to help me out on the chorus of this. It's one called Greenfields. Uh-oh. I have a bow here loose here. Okay. One, two, three, four. Thank you.
Festival of 1975. The group was, at the time, Robin Morton, Ellie Bain, Cathal McConnell, and Dave Richardson, and here is Robin Morton.
We'll do another couple of sets, and then I said, and this is a set that's a fairly long set, and it takes a lot of explanation, or it takes no explanation. And so we'll do it with very little explanation. It's a set of music that describes the hunt of the hare, and it comes from, the idea at least came from the Irish pipes, and then we got the idea from the Doherty family from Donegal, whose music we greatly respect and love and play a lot of as well. And it starts off with this two verses of a hunting song, which talks about the music of the dogs, because that's the way the people, the farmers, talk about the dogs. They say the dogs made great music today. Then we go into a tune called The Hunt, which is sort of slow and stately, I hope, and it's meant to describe the farmers and the dogs meeting at the crossroads. And then we get into the jig tune, which is the beginning of the chase, and then we get into the sounds of the hunt and the kill of the hare. And usually the bagel dogs, you eat them and we sort of, we hunt with them, and the bagel dogs don't usually catch the hare, but in this case they catch it because it's the way to finish the piece of music. So it's called The Hound and the Hare. I think eventually finish now with a tune that we've played affectionately for many years called The Lady. We call it The Lady. It's called The Mason's Apron, and I'd like to dedicate this one to Clarence, if he's in there anywhere, who's my fiddling friend, and we just spent a few hours playing together, and he heard Sean Maguire playing this tune, who was the original guy to play it. It was an Irishman. It's a Scots tune, and this Irish fiddle player added on some different parts. He made it into kind of a famous tune. The Irish don't usually do things like that, but this is an exception. And so we're going to play an older sort of a Shetland version.
I didn't hear that. What you...
We're going to play an older sort of a Shetland version, and then the way the tune normally is played in Scotland. And then after that, we're going to play Sean Maguire's version, which is unlike a sort of a Benny Goodman version of the tune. It's Ireland's answer to the Martin's Blossom Special, if you understand it.
I see no ships. The glass is empty. Let's go.
Wow.